Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how are you doing?
Doing good. Excited for game week. Off week was great as far as not having to worry about the football game, I guess. But at the same time, I seem to have a lot more fun when they're actually playing a football game. So excited to go to Kennesaw Friday night and see what that looks like. We'll preview that for you guys coming up. And other than that, first bit of news is UTEP officially leaving the conference, heading to the Mountain West. We alluded to that in our, whatever we're calling that special episode now, where we just kind of talked until we got tired of talking. But UTEP officially leaving. New Mexico State was not mentioned, not to mean that they're not going to move. They may be next out the door. But for right now, UTEP is for sure leaving. And again, I think that makes sense for that university. It makes sense for the Mountain West where they are right now. So nothing we didn't expect, nothing that's going to hurt our feelings, but that is official news now. Brooks, I don't know if you have any thoughts, quick thoughts on UTEP, but that did get announced earlier this week.
Yeah, I don't know if there was ever any like serious discussion between UTEP and New Mexico State on, you know, whether or not they were going to both go at the same time, or if they never even talked, you know, at all. There was speculation that they would both go, and ultimately it ended up being UTEP only. But I don't think I don't think New Mexico State will be far behind. It's just, you know, for them being a Conference USA, it at least, you know, having that UTEP game, that wasn't a bad little travel. It was one redeeming quality, but now that they're not even in the conference, and their next closest trip is to Ruston, Louisiana, to play Louisiana Tech, you know, and that ain't the hour 45 drive that we're going to be making to Kennesaw this week by any stretch of the imagination. So them jumping next, I think it's certainly logical. I don't think it'll be very long before they announce it. Probably next week, I would think. With UTEP jumping ship, I don't see New Mexico State staying around much longer. But like I said, sent in the Twitter, or like I put it out on Twitter, the question now is who, if anybody, is going to come to Conference USA next.
Yeah. Tarleton seems to be the front runner. I heard Eastern Kentucky's name got thrown around this week. So that's a team or a school we didn't talk much about when we did our little conference movement episode. But old OVC rival of Jack State might be a team that moves also. So keep an ear to the ground and certainly see if they decide to add a team with the departure of UTEP, or if they decide to stay at what will now be, 11 teams as of right now, without New Mexico State officially leaving. Next, they would be at 11 with the addition of Missouri State and Delaware. So 11 is a weird number. So again, you expect Mexico State to leave and make that number come back to 10, but we'll see if they choose to add a team or two throughout the rest of the season, the off season.
Real quick, you talked about Tarleton. Ross Dellinger tweeted out that the Mountain West is having serious conversations with them. So it sounds like, and they would be the last school that the Mountain West needs to be to qualify as a football conference.
I wonder if that means Sacramento State fell through, because I know that was a very popular Mountain West rumor at a time. So I wonder if the Sac State stuff fell through and now they're looking more towards, we have the Tarleton State bidding wars between the Conference USA and the Mountain West.
Yeah. I don't know. I saw they were spending an outrageous amount of money on NIL to, you know, really boost their program. I guess, you know, maybe it just didn't work out or what, but, and they may be joining anyways.
But sure, they could be joining anyway.
They just needed one more. They just need one more school to join to qualify as a conference, and it sounded like Tarleton that might be where they're going. Yeah. But again, you know, kind of like we said last week, that opens up the opportunity for, you know, what's looking like if we do add any more schools, it's going to be more FCS, Chattanooga, Villanova, Stephen F. Austin, you know, whoever it may be. So it's going to be interesting for sure to see where the conference goes from here. I think we'll learn more over the course of the next few weeks.
Yeah, I do too. Certainly an interesting place for the conference to be, and for Cuttlebutt to be, you know, as a whole, still having teams wanting to move up like Sac State and Tarleton and that kind of thing is a really good thing to see.
Yeah.
All right, but into the news, we'll cover what happened in the Conference USA last week before we get into Kennesaw. Of course, Jack State on the bye, so nothing to break down there. We'll cover some of the low-profile stuff first, and we'll get into what we thought were going to be the three really high-profile games, ended up just being two. But FIU bounces back after that loss to Monmouth 2 weeks ago. They beat Louisiana Tech 17-10. Again, I don't think that's a very impressive win. I don't think Louisiana Tech's a very good football team, but good for FIU bouncing back after an FCS loss. Memphis takes care of Middle Tennessee State 24-7. Only thing I really draw from that is Middle Tennessee State's defense seemed to play a pretty decent football game. They held them scoreless in the first and the fourth quarter. So the offense there for the Blue Raiders didn't mount to much. But the defense, you know, that's a good football team for Memphis. Holding them to 24 points, I think, is you call that a win for that defense, I think. And then what we dubbed as the Great Rock Fight of New Mexico, the Rio Grande Showdown there. New Mexico comes away with it 50-40 to beat Mexico State. And what ended up being a big shootout there in the fourth quarter. 43 points total scored in the fourth quarter of that game. So the defense was optional there for the fourth quarter. But New Mexico gets the win over the Aggies 50-40. And then your three high-profile games of the week. First one there, Western Kentucky and Boston College. And, man, Western, I don't want to say they threw one away, but they went into the fourth quarter, you know, on the road in BC, leading 20-6. And Boston College scores two touchdowns there in the fourth quarter and takes that one 21-20. Boston College was without their really good quarterback. I'm not going to come up with his name right now, but if you've seen that guy play, he is very, very talented there for BC. And he was out for this game, so that was probably a reason that the BC offense struggled for the first three quarters there. And then Sam Houston, man, this game, if you got to watch the first quarter of it, you wouldn't believe the final score. But Texas State up 22-0 after the first quarter was over. There was a scoop and score touchdown in there for the Bobcats. And then Sam Houston battled back all game, scored a touchdown late, or should we keep the field goal late in the fourth quarter, to win it 40-39, and what was a classic there in NRG Stadium in Houston. So Sam Houston, again, that's a team that me and Brooks said was going to be a different football team than what you guys saw last year. They finished last year 3-9. They're sitting at 4-1. This is a really, really impressive win for them over a pretty good Texas State team that was getting a lot of playoff love as a group of five team before the year started. Now they're sitting at 2-2 in that dream, probably death of the Bobcats, but regardless, it's still a really good win for Sam Houston. And then the high-profile games, of course, Liberty and App State, game got canceled, obviously, due to the hurricane in the eastern part of the United States there. And the big thing for what this means, right, game will not be made up. App State isn't going to try to make it up. They've got a lot of things going on in that part of the country, unfortunately, right now. But for Liberty, sitting at 4-0, this was probably I don't know if it was the toughest game on their schedule, but it was the highest profile game on their schedule, for sure. Going to Boone, playing a good App State team that I know has had two ugly losses this year, but we didn't know that before the season started. But the game won't get made up. Liberty is currently looking for a team to replace App State to get a 12th game on their schedule. So we'll see what that looks like if they are lucky enough to find a team to play. I doubt they get someone that's even an equivalent to what App State is right now. It's going to be hard to convince someone to play 13 football games this year, I think. So I think this hurts Liberty's playoff chances. I mean, Liberty goes 11-0 and wins the Conference USA. I mean, I think you take a 11-2 American champion over that right now, based on, you know, strength of schedule and that kind of thing. First of all, Liberty's going to have one less game played than everybody else, and Liberty's schedule is not going to be a really tough one. It wasn't in the first place, even with App State, without them, that schedule really takes a hit. And then lastly, of course, Kennesaw State, we'll talk about them here. They lose to UT Martin, old FCS rival for Jack State in the OVC, 24-13. Of course, that was a home game for Kennesaw State, and they just look like a football team that's lost. Offense was non-existent for all of that game, and obviously we'll preview the Kennesaw, but they seem to be a football team in reverse. Brooks, what do you think?
Yeah. Oh goodness. yeah, I think that. Yeah, I'll start off with the Kennesaw game, but yeah, I'm like you. They look like a football team that's lost nothing. Nothing just really sticks out at all about this football team. You know, UT Martin by no means a cream of the crop in what is now the Big South OVC Association. They've got kind of a kind of like what we had when we were in the ASUN with the WAC, a kind of an alliance. Excuse me, of a conference. Just the quarterback, Davis Bryson, just 16-34 for 117 yards and two touchdowns. One of them was a big pick six by the Skyhawks, and then he was also their leading rusher. He had six carries for 27 yards, and that's from your quarterback. And I know, you know, I don't know if they're still running some form of triple option like they were in FCS days or not. I don't think they are, but you know, either way, when your leading rusher is your quarterback and he's only got 27 yards on the night, that's you know, you got a problem. You know, they had 123 yards and two touchdowns rushing from their lead running back, and you know, average numbers from the quarterback. But, you know, either way, you know, if that's what UT Martin's doing to him, running up and down the field, can you imagine what Tyler Huff's going to do? He put up big numbers against Louisville on the ground, so he'll have a field day in Kennesaw. and you know, it's amazing to see. You know, it's Kennesaw hate week, but just it's amazing to see the drop off that they've had from, you know, this is not the Kennesaw that we played when we were in the ASUN, and you know, even in the playoffs when we were still in the OVC. You know, we know Kennesaw as, you know, for the short time that they've had a football program, as a really an FCS powerhouse. You know, they were, you know, not, you know, playing for a national championship or anything, but I think they won the Big South a time or two, regularly in the top 10 in FCS standings. And you know, I kind of thought, you know, maybe last year they did not have a very good year at all last year, and I kind of thought, you know, maybe they were just, you know, they're not playoff eligible, they can't win the conference, maybe they're just looking ahead, just trying to get through this year without a ton of injuries, save what they can, and you know, kind of we'll see a little bit more of the Kennesaw that we know this year once they did make the jump up to FBS. But we were way wrong. There's just nothing really much that stands out about this. You know, they had, I guess, you know, they only held them to 17 points on offense, but you know, still, or yeah, 17 points on offense, but you know, just, you know, nothing, especially, I think our defense will have a field day. I think Tyler Huff will have a field day, both through the air and on the ground. You know, you said it before we started recording. There's no reason that this shouldn't be about a 30-35 point game at least. So, you know, like I said, it's amazing to see the kind of drop off that they've had.
Yeah, what I think makes it more surprising is I know moving up from the FCS level to the FBS level is a big jump for most football teams. But you think about the teams that have had success doing this recently. I mean, you know, App State, James Madison, UTSA, Sam, you know, I know Sam had a rough year last year, but they still were a very competitive team. Of course, Jack State. It's just kind of strange to think that Kennesaw was so good at that level. And I know they had a really rough 2023, but they were so good at that level for so long that, you know, seeing them struggle like this bad moving up was something we didn't expect to see. You know, losing the FCS teams and looking just lost on both sides of the football was not something that we expected to see, especially with the success that some of the other teams who have moved up recently have had almost instantly. You know, because you can draw, you know, Sam Houston from last year at 3-9 is such a better or a different football team than what Kennesaw is right now. You can't even compare the two. Yeah. And you look at Sam Houston as a team, like, hey, they struggled in year one. And, you know, now you see them, they're 4-1, and they are all but guaranteed to, you know, make a bowl game, challenge for a conference championship and that kind of thing. It's just strange to see Kennesaw struggle so bad. But we'll kind of parlay this into our game preview, and I know we've talked a little bit about Kennesaw already. As of now, Jack State's a 15.5-point favorite on the road. I think that's low. I think if you're a betting man, you can slam the Jack State money line on that. With how Kennesaw's looked and how Jack State looked against Southern Miss, you have the bye week before this game. There's no reason they shouldn't go in and win this game by 20-plus points at least, especially with the way they looked against Southern Miss and having the bye week and all is going to play in their favor for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know Brooks talked a little bit about the Kennesaw players. Again, you know who Jack State's gonna run out there. Tyler Huff, you know, he's a leading passer and your rusher right now. Michael Petway leads a team in receiving yards, 222. Got to get the ball in Sean Brown's hands. Got to get the ball to Trey Stewart, Anwar. We'll see about the health of Andrew Paul, but this should be another game that I think is gonna resemble the Southern Miss game. Quite a bit, as far as it should be a really fun game if you're a Gamecock fan. At least that's the hope right now.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, we had the last time we played them, we had the thriller in overtime. We had the thriller for our first win against Kennesaw, and in the first year against. In the Rich Rod era, you know, that one was fun, but they have been a thorn in our side, and we've played some classics. We've played some close games both here, and in Atlanta, at least, the one time we've been over to the soccer stadium, it was a slacking. So this will be, if we can, you know, come in, take care of business and move on to New Mexico State, you know, that'll be very enjoyable for Gamecocks fans who, you know, like I said, we've played some classics with them over the years, but they just before Rich Rod got here, they were just such a big thorn in our side, and you know, and what has become a pretty good rivalry, I believe. You know, we met them in the playoffs in 2017, got beat at home. What did that game go to? It was 4 or 5 overtimes in Truist Park. Got beaten that one, unfortunately. And then just got schlacked. Like I said, got schlacked at Kennesaw the last time, the one and only time we've been to the soccer stadium. That's what it will always be referred to as. And then, like I said, to finally get that. You know, get that thriller win at home, and for Rich Rod to break out the scars. You know, is it stealing from Alabama and Tennessee a little bit? Yeah, sure, but that'd be something kind of neat to do going forward. If we are gonna make this, you know, our big rival, obviously outside of Troy, if we can ever play them again. I'm excited for it. You know, this will like I said, if we can come in, smack them in front of their home crowd, what I don't imagine it's going to be a huge crowd. We'll be there. We'll be taking in all the scenes of Fifth Bank Stadium, Fifth Third, whatever it's called, the soccer stadium. Like I said, come in, take care of business, smack them in front of the home crowd, and move on to New Mexico State.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a game you should no doubt show up, take care of business, and you're where you need to be. Then you go to Mexico State, you get Middle Tennessee State after that, and then if everything goes according to plan and this team plays the way they're capable of, you're going to show up in Lynchburg, Tennessee the night before Halloween, 4-3 without a conference loss, and you can right a lot of wrongs if you can beat Liberty that night in Lynchburg. But we'll just have to wait and see. Three games till we get there. We're not counting those as wins, especially as a 1-3 football team. But they're games that this team should win. And it starts Friday night in Kennesaw. Like Brooke said, we'll be there. Plenty of pictures, plenty of videos to share with you guys from that experience there. But moving on, we normally would break down the conference slate for week 6. The only other conference game or only other game featuring conference teams is Sam Houston and UTEP this week. A lot of the conference is on a bye. Of course, a lot of the teams are shifting to that midweek schedule. So you got to have a bye week in there somewhere to get yourself to that point. And this is week 6 when a lot of those teams are taking that bye week. So Sam Houston and UTEP on their game on the schedule. And UTEP is, again, an 0-4 football team. Sam Houston on the road there at the Sun Bowl in El Paso should not have any issues with the Miners there. So right now, Sam Houston's only a 10-point favorite. I think that's very low. If you're a guy who wants to go smash the over on something, I think you can go smash the over on the Bearcats in that game too. So I'm sure those lines move a little bit. But right now, it's another game to really talk about is Sam Houston and UTEP. That'll be each of those teams, that'll be their second conference game. Of course, Jack State and Kennesaw State, this is their first conference game of the year for both of those teams. So we'll see. Obviously, UTEP 0-1 in conference and Sam Houston 1-0. So you have that at 8 o'clock on Thursday night, Jack State at 6 o'clock on Friday night. So no Conference USA teams in action on Saturday. And, we'll go from there. But once again, we will be there. Me and Brooks will be there. So we'll, again, share pictures and videos of what Kennesaw looks like, and hopefully it'll be a big-time win for us over in Atlanta. But real quick, again, to kind of get to the point where we're going to wrap up, Brooks, I don't know any news we haven't talked about. I know Andrew Paul's injury is still – he's somewhat questionable for Kennesaw. We talked a little bit about, but anything else on that front for us?
Nothing really. Nothing much. I got a good feeling that we're going to end up seeing, if this game does get out of hand like we expect it to, anything can happen. And I think we are still very much a work in progress. The off week to help, but don't ever, especially in this rivalry, don't ever take things lightly. I'm hoping that we will get to see Logan Smothers a little bit more. He's been hurt the last two contests, and that's why we haven't got to see him. It's been all Tyler Huff. Credit to him. He's come in, taking the bull by the horns and just dominated for the most part. A couple pick here and there, but on the ground and on the ground and through the air, he's been for the most part phenomenal. So hope to see if we can get up enough we will kind of ease Logan Smothers back into the offense a little bit. Like you said, Andrew Paul missed the Southern Miss game with the injury. Rich Rod didn't disclose what exactly it was, but he said that Rich Rod expects Andrew Paul to be full go on Friday. Hasn't really made a really significant impact within our ground game, but it's been from the in the running back room. It's been a two headed monster. We said it's, you know, we expected it to be a three headed monster. Well, that third head is has been Tyler Huff on the ground, just running all over Southern Miss and Eastern Michigan's defense, and a little bit of Louisville. So, you know, I know the kind of talent that Andrew Paul is, you know, just watching him a little bit at Georgia. And I think he's got the potential to be a really good running back for us. It's just, you know, if he can stay healthy, if he can, you know, get a little bit, he's sitting behind Trey Stewart and Anwar Lewis, who, you know, again, have really looked good so far. It also progressively got better throughout the season. But I hope to see him a little bit more. I think he's very talented. I think he can really help us in the running back room. But it just, you know, he's got to go out and take the opportunities or take advantage of the opportunities given him, or he's been given. So far, I hadn't been able to do that. The injury doesn't help. But other than that, not really any other news in terms of injuries or any other sort of team updates. The only other, if you want to call it news, course, you know, when Rich Rodriguez used to be the head coach at West Virginia during their 2005-2007, you really solid teams, was a Pittsburgh win away from, you know, probably making the national championship. But while he was there, Pat McAfee, former Colts punter and now College Game Day host and got his own show on ESPN. He played for Rich Rod, and he said he's been talking to him, talking back and forth with him a good bit. And Pat said that he really wants to come to Jack State and visit the Ville. So might want to, keep your eyes out around town for Pat McAfee. Something kind of interesting.
Yeah, that'd be a ton of fun. If Pat come down and check out Jacksonville and meet some of the players, that kind of thing, I think would be a really cool thing for the university. But we'll start wrapping it up here. Shorter episode today, but, you know, a light conference schedule. No game for Jack State last week, so a little bit of a shorter episode for today with the Kennesaw State preview. And if you can hear my dog in the background, I'm sorry. He's a special kind of dog, let me tell you. But a shorter episode without Jack's having a game last week. So once again, if you guys made it this far, we really appreciate it. Go find us on Twitter, especially, you know, for this weekend, we'll be at the game. You'll be able to see pictures and videos and ask whatever questions you guys have there. We get a lot of really good feedback, especially on game day on Twitter there. So go check us out over there and throw us a like and that kind of thing. And we'll talk to you guys after what we fully expect to be a big time victory on the road in Georgia.
Yep, looking forward to it. Excited to get to go somewhere I've never been before, and hopefully beat the crap out of the Owls. And just one more quick play. If you haven't listened to our kind of general CFB episode that we did last week, go give it a listen. I thought we had a really good discussion on college football landscape as a whole and how it affects Jack State. But other than that, yeah, we'll post pictures, give updates, and hopefully come out of Kennesaw with a dominating win. So we'll talk to you next week. See y'all.